welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
All right, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Preach the Word podcast. I am Dean Carmichael, your host. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter number 3. And first off, let me just say that this is being recorded on New Year's Day. So obviously my heart is on the new year and wanting to ensure that we're focused and our hearts are aligned and that we're looking to Christ. But Joshua chapter 3, in the first 5 verses, "And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I want to preach on the thought on the topic of uncharted territory. Now, uncharted territory, that is an unknown place not yet explored. So, for example, 2023 is uncharted territory. We're already kind of in it right now. When I publish this, it'll be January the 8th, I believe. So already about a week into it. However, it's uncharted territory. We don't know what it holds for us. And our biblical example here is the children of Israel. And this is the event of them crossing the Jordan River to get to the promised land, which is known as Canaan. Now, this is a turning point in the children of Israel, because the last 40 years they have been wandering the desert and they have not crossed over into the promised land because of a lack of faith. Now, we do know that eventually they would get over to the promised land. It wasn't through the leadership of Moses. It was through the leadership of Joshua. Now, when they got over the first time, when they crossed the Red Sea, when they got out of Egypt, that was a type of salvation, because they're in Egypt, they're in bondage, and Egypt is a type of the world. Now, what ended up happening was, when they were called out of Egypt, when Moses parted the Red Sea, that is a picture of their salvation, because that's what happens. A person is in the world, they're in bondage of sin, they realize they need to be delivered, they cry out to God, and God delivers them. That is a type of salvation. But Jordan, crossing the Jordan River, is a type of entering a victorious Christian life. In order for the children of Israel to enter into the land of promise, they had to hold God to his word, they had to have faith, and they had to trust him. And that is an issue that they were having. And when they crossed the Jordan River here, it was nothing more than an act of their faith. Because what they had to do was, if you look on your own in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, I believe, verse 16 and 17, if you look at the rest of that, it's nothing short of a miracle. And is actually more miraculous than the Red Sea. When they crossed the Red Sea, Moses would strike his rod down and the Red Sea would part. When they crossed the Jordan River, what would happen there is the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant would walk across. And as they were walking across, the Jordan River would go back and it would stand up. Now, water doesn't normally do that, but again, this is a miracle. So God would cause the Jordan River to go back about 2 miles away and it would stand up like a wall. And the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant would stand in the middle of the Jordan River, and the Israelites would cross over. So as soon as the priest would walk over, they had dry ground there, and they would walk over, and it allowed the children of Israel to get across safely. The thing that we have to understand here is once the children of Israel begin to cross the Jordan River, there's no going back. Think about it. They're sitting ducks here for their enemies because you have millions of Jews who need to cross the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is not exactly something that there are parts of it you can wade across, but even then, think about how obvious of a target they were for their enemies as they're crossing the Jordan River. So how this whole thing went about was a miracle, but the fact that they made that move to begin crossing was an act of faith on its own. So another thing I want you to look at as we go on, as we're talking about uncharted territory and the promised land, that was uncharted territory for them. But when you read those verses, there is a very important thing that you need to see, and that is the Ark of the Covenant. But before I move on, though, I want to quote from Adrian Rogers. He actually preached a message called A Guide to the Great Unknown. I highly recommend Adrian Rogers. He was a wonderful preacher, and definitely listen to his sermons. He's helped me tremendously. In Joshua 3, the children of Israel were on the brink of blessing. Between them and a land of opportunity was a raging river of difficulty. However, they had with them the Ark of the Covenant, a reminder of God's presence with his people and their guide to the great unknown. Ark of the Covenant is a type of Jesus Christ. The Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle. It was in the Holy of Holies. It was like a cedar chest, and it was covered with gold, and inside of it was the law, the broken Ten Commandments. Inside the Holy of Holies, you have the Shekinah glory, which is the cloud, the pillar of God. Now, what is separating? What is keeping? How can man and our broken commandments be in the same place as a holy God? Well, the answer to that is simple. You have the mercy seat that is on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And that is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the high priest would go in there on the Day of Atonement, and he would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb. And that is a picture of what Jesus Christ would do for us. So, how can a transgressor, how can someone who is so broken and so sinful be in the very presence of an almighty God? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ark is what symbolized and what showed the presence of God in their lives. So they were taught to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant would go about a half a mile up, and they would keep their eyes on the ark and use it as a guide to tell them which way that they need to go. Well, in 2023, uncharted territory, that is an unknown place that's not yet explored. How do we get through the year 2023? We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we do that. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, it served as a place for the presence of God. Jesus Christ is how we get to God. Now, talking a little bit about Canaan land, about the promised land. Over the years, you have heard Canaan be used as a type of heaven, which actually that isn't correct. So to Canaan land, I'm on my way. You've heard different songs or so forth. So Canaan, for example, is not necessarily a type of heaven. What Canaan land, what the promised land is, it is a type of the victory for the believer. It is the type of life that God has promised a Christian who has faith in him, a child of God, but it's not the same as a babe in Christ who just received Christ. So, for example, when the children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea and they were delivered out of Egypt, that right there is a type of salvation. Now, was God present? Yes, God was present. Did they live a life in victory? No, they did not. They didn't enter the promised land because they were too scared to. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years. Now, Christian, listen to me. You can coast, okay? You can coast the rest of your Christian life. In fact, I want you to ask yourself this question. This time last year, 2022, when it first started, compare yourself from 2022 till now, have you changed at all spiritually? Have you grown in your walk with the Lord? Well, if the answer, if your eyes are not on Christ and he's not the priority in your life, the answer is simple. The answer is no. Okay, if you're just checking the box and Christianity to you is Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday night and Wednesdays, and your morning devotions that you check the box on, if that's what Christianity is to you, I'm not saying you're not saved, because in order to be saved, salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You repent. You agree with God that you're a sinner, and you know you can't get your way to heaven, so you trust in Christ. Okay, the Bible says you're saved. But in order to live a victorious life, a mature life, a life of intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to truly get close to him and find identity with him, because a lot of times what happens, Christians, they do not find identity in Christ. So their identity is their community. Their community, which is church, becomes their identity. So their identity in Christ is no more of going to church Sunday morning, using all those cliches, using all those buzzwords, the, you know, hey, brother, how you doing? Love you. All that stuff. That is their identity. Their community becomes their identity. Going to church becomes their identity. Now, do we need to go to church? Of course we do. We should go to church. That's biblical. To obey the Lord and live in fellowship, you need to go to church. You need to go to a Bible-believing church. However, that is not the extent of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so much more than that. And you need to ask yourself, have you changed at all? Have you grown at all in this last year? And when you look at the children of Israel, 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. I know some Christians, they've been saved for 35, 40, 50 years, and they are no more than a babe in Christ, because they have been doing the same thing. They've been going through the motions. They gossip. They're living in open sin. They're lazy. They're their own God, pretty much. They're living in idolatry. They go to church when they want. They read their Bible when they want. They pray when they want. They check a box. They do things out of duty because they have to. There's no intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ there. In order to get to the promised land in our life, in order to live a life of victory, a life of joy and peace, and seeking first the kingdom of God, and truly living in just rest in the Lord, we have got to cross that Jordan River and out of faith. We've got to get out of the wilderness. We've got to get out of that infant stage. Remember, salvation is a free gift. Discipleship will cost you. Please remember that. So couple things just to wrap this part up. So when you have the children of Israel, number one, if you look at verse number 3 and verse number 4, so verse number 3, it says, go after it. And then verse number 4, it says that ye may know the way by which ye must go. You see the path of their journey. Number one, you see the path of their journey. The Ark of the Covenant is key. And they were to stay a mile behind it. They were to keep their eyes on the Ark. Now, remember something. The presence of the Ark did not get them to the promised land. They had been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. Remember, when you're saved, you have the presence of God in your life. Just because a person has the presence of God does not mean they're going to mature and enter into the promised land. It's about position, okay? It is about priority. God has to have priority. God has to be, that is a daily thing. Paul said, I die daily. A daily thing is to ensure that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, to ensure you have submitted, yielded to the Holy Spirit. If you don't yield to the Holy Spirit and die to the flesh, by default, you are yielding to the flesh. That is a daily thing. Okay, so the children of Israel, they had the presence of God, but they did not have God in the right position. Not only do we see the path of their journey, we also see the preparation of their journey in verse 5. If you look at the first part of verse 5, it says, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. The word sanctify means to consecrate. It means to devote. It means to be holy. If you want to get on the next step of your relationship with the Lord, if you want to look back in 2024, if the Lord allows us to live through the year, if he doesn't come back before then, if you're here in 2024 and you want to look back and say, am I mature, more mature spiritually? Have I grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Am I a more godly man, a more godly woman? Ask yourself this question. Was I consecrated this past year? Did I sanctify myself for the Lord? Did I set myself, not my Sundays, not my Wednesday nights, not my morning time before I go to work, I set up time to read my daily devotion book or say my quick prayer before I eat. No, my entire life, everything, every interaction. Pray without ceasing, meditating on scripture. In order to do that, we have to sanctify ourselves. God has to sanctify us. What that means is we have to surrender ourselves so God can sanctify us and set us apart for service. So you have number one, you have the path of their journey. Number two, you have the preparation for their journey. And number three, you have the promise of their journey. That's found in the last part of verse 5 where it says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. You want to please the Lord? Trust in him. Have faith. Now, there are three things I want to give you, okay? Three things I want to give you as we enter uncharted territory. Write these things down if you can. If not, just try to remember them the best you can. But as we go on to this year, as we enter into uncharted territory, we need three things. Number one, we need a guide. What I want you to do is I want you to picture that you're going to literally uncharted territory. Let's say you're going to the wilderness. You've never been there before. It's just a national forest. There's no, let's just say it's just true forest, true jungle, whatever you want to call it. There's no markers. There's no anything. You're about to go out into the wild. All right. So the first thing you need is a guide. You need a compass. You need a map. You need something to show you where you are. It's great having good friends. It's great having good parents. It's great having good family and all that. But at the end of the day, if something were to happen and you were to be left alone, you have to be able to survive. And in order to do that, you need to have a guide. And that is so important. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel. Take Moses, for example. If it wasn't for Jethro, old Moses never would have made it because Moses was doing too much and Jethro, his father-in-law, came in and gave him good godly counsel. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. But something we got to understand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. That first part, we love to quote that. But then if you look at the last part of that verse, that's what we have problems with. Okay, lean not into thine own understanding. What happens is guides will sometimes, we will get frustrated with them because it doesn't match our own understanding. If I'm not careful, I will rely so much on my GPS that I won't even think about where I am. I'm just relying on that guide. I just blindly, and I become complacent. But in reality, if I was going to go out in the wild, I would need to make sure that I had a map, that I had a compass, that I had landmarks, and that I had everything that I needed to keep a sense of direction so I could survive. Well, in order to have that, we have to let God lead us. He needs to be our guide. We need to allow God. For example, you have the Ark of the Covenant. They wanted them to stay back so they could keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. And that's important. Remember, it's not just about presence. It's not just about knowing that God is there. Because see, we do that. We know that God is there, but we don't look for him. We don't look for him in our grief. We don't look for him in our frustration. We don't look for him in our difficulties. We just cry out when we've lost all hope and we're like, Lord, I'm almost bankrupt. I could really use some help here. Lord, I don't know what to do. What we need to do is keep our eyes on God at all times and look for him and talk to him and listen for him. Lord, where are you in this? Why is this happening? How can you satisfy me and fulfill my heart in this situation? Take a step back and keep your eyes on God. Slow down and let him. If he isn't moving, you shouldn't be moving either. If he's moving ahead of you, give him time so you can keep your eyes on him and follow him. That's exactly what Joshua is telling the children of Israel to do. So number one, when you go to uncharted territory, you need a guide. You need to make sure that you keep your eyes on God and you stay in close prayer with him, meditation. You stay in constant fellowship with the Lord. Number two, in uncharted territory, you need goods. You need provisions. If you were going to go out in the wild, you need to make sure that you would take plenty of food. You make sure you would take plenty of supplies with you. Well, Job said in Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If you miss breakfast, it's not going to be long till you eat dinner, okay? Or lunch, rather. We call it Sunday dinner. It's Sunday, so give me a break. But you know what I'm saying. If you miss one meal, you're going to get another meal because you're hungry. You need that. All right, if you're a grown adult and you are the one in charge of getting all the provisions for your home, if you're out of toilet paper, spoiler alert, you're going to be going to the store pretty soon, or you're going to be getting on Amazon and ordering toilet paper. I got to be careful saying that because I might trigger some of y'all's Amazons to order you toilet paper. But you know what I'm saying? If you're the one in charge, you're going to make sure that you have certain things because you have to have them. All right. That is how we need to be about the Word of God in our daily prayer life. When I say our daily prayer life, I mean from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to stay in a constant mindset of prayer. And people say, well, that's kind of hard. Well, again, discipleship, it will cost you. It's hard to watch a movie filled with nudity when you're staying in a prayerful mode, in a prayerful spirit, isn't it? It's hard to listen to a song that's filled with profanity. It's hard to hang out with individuals who take the Lord's name in vain and live in a very wicked lifestyle when you are staying and remaining in a state of worship, in a state of prayer, in a state of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need provisions. You need your daily bread, which is the Word of God. But it's not just once or twice a day. You need to meditate and you need to stay in that state of prayer and that state of studying and wanting to minister, wanting to take what you've learned and give a word to someone else. You need your goods. You need your guide, which is referring to your compass, your map. You need your goods, which is referring to your provisions. But then last of all, not only do you need those things, you also need guarding. You need protection. If you're going somewhere you've never been before, like if you were going to go out in the wilderness, you would need some form of protection, especially if you're going out in bear country, or if you're going out somewhere with a lot of wild animals and not knowing, you want some form of protection. You don't want to go out there just blind and oblivious, and you got to be careful with stuff like that. You need guarding. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now is the time. Now is the time. We are headed into uncharted territory. We don't know what this year holds for us. If you're carrying around bitterness, now's the time to give it over to God. If someone has done you wrong, you don't have to wait for them to apologize to forgive them. You forgive them anyway. That's biblical. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive them. Love them. Okay, let that go. Because I'm going to tell you what, you carry that into uncharted territory with you, the enemy will use that. All right? You have an unconfessed sin in your life. You know you're not supposed to be doing it, but you're doing it anyway. Now's the time. Okay, that sin that so easily besets us, it's time to give that over to God, repent, turn away from that. Because when we go into uncharted territory, Satan will use that against us. He will use that to fall flat on our face, and he will keep us in the wilderness wandering around for 40 years. It's time to let that go. It's time to repent. Okay, it's time to take inventory of the things that you read and listen to and watch and the places that you go and the things that have priority in your life. It's time to take an inventory of that. It's time to repent and turn away from those things that are idols in your life, and turn away from that open sin that you're living in, and get back close to the Lord and any type of bitterness or anything like that. It's time to ask God to help and to trust in Him totally. So as we head on to uncharted territory 2023, may the Lord bless you. I hope this was a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, use this message for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Like this video. Would welcome your comments. If you're listening on Podbean or any type of podcast platform, please send me an email. My contact information, I believe, is in the description. Subscribe to that as well. And Lord willing, we will continue to upload videos, podcasts, and just give you what God has on my heart. And we'll serve the Lord together. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.